Unprepared.
Good afternoon, gardeners. You're with Garden Planet with Selena and Karen. And
today, hello, everyone.
We have a really fun topic.
Yeah, what would that be exactly?
Fungi.
Fungi. My goodness, tell us about fungi, Selena.
Well, they're very important for our gardens. There are actually two types of fungi, the beneficial kind and the ones that attack your plants. But let's talk about the beneficial kinds.
They call them mutualistic interactions or antagonistic interactions. You're going to talk about the mutualistic ones.
The symbiotic ones.
Yeah, it's all about the symbiotic relationship. Interestingly, just before you tell us about that, from a science perspective, listen to this. There's one specific symbiotic relationship that fungi have with plants, and it's called mycorrhizal symbiosis. Over 90% of all plant species engage in this relationship.
Yep.
90% of plants are dependent on this relationship for their survival. Why, you ask?
Why, Karen? Why?
Because having this relationship with the fungi that lives on it increase, or maybe in the soil, I didn't get that deep into the... Anyway, you might be able to answer that. It increases the plant's uptake of inorganic compounds like nitrate and phosphate from the soil.
Mm-hmm. So, listeners, think of it as the plant's Facebook community. It just helps the plant's roots get connections with the other plants, this fungi.
You've lost me.
Okay. Fungi, they're like plants, but they're not plants. So the things we know as mushrooms are like their fruiting bodies.
I know that fungi have properties of plants, animals and bacteria. They have similar...
But they're a whole separate kingdom. So they're not plants because they don't have chlorophyll.
Yes.
And they're not animals because they don't have skeletons or moving parts.
They are not animals because of this fact. Because they don't have chloroplasts, that's some sort of cell that plants have, they require preformed organic compounds as their energy sources, like we do, chunk of meat.
Fungi feed on decaying matter. So they're the ultimate recyclers or decomposers. So they're in your compost, helping break down all the organic matter.
They are the principal decomposers in ecological systems.
And they
principal. Number one.
Okay. And for your plant roots, they will attach themselves. So they're like a network, as I said before, like a Facebook community.
Right.
And they will send signals and nutrients across. And one of the biggest single organisms on this planet is fungi. If you measured all those networks, because it's just one organism, scientists have measured that they can grow out to be about 2 miles wide.
Yeah, because growth is their only means of mobility, except for spores, which are flagellated. Flagellation, isn't that sound funny word? Anyway, I don't know if you studied. Did you study biology at school?
Oh, yes, many years ago.
It's like the little things on the end of cells that make them move.
Yeah,
it's like a little tadpole tail almost on the cell. Gives them a bit of movement. So, yeah, there's a few spores that have that. But other than that, it's the growth factor.
And so mushrooms, we think of mushrooms as fungi, but they're the fruiting body of these you think of the mushrooms that has kind of like roots, but they're not roots.
There is a word, what is it?
Mycelium.
Okay.
Or hyphae.
Yeah, I've got hyphae.
Yeah. Mycelium is another word for it, but we're getting a bit technical here.
Yeah, well, that's actually the characteristic, because in that hyphae, you have both glutens and chitin, which is like just physical components, and it's that in their cell walls that make them different from plants and animals, scientifically speaking. So it's actually one of the significant factor from the rest, yeah.
So when you look at if you look under in the soil where they grow, it's like thin white threads.
Mm.
So if you're digging up some plants and you're looking at the roots and you see white
Oh,
or,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I have seen that. Yeah.
It means your soil's really healthy because it's fungus growing it and it's distributing all the nutrients.
Oh, cool.
Into the soil and into the plants. So,
very cool. The nitrates and phosphates, and it's, yeah, grabbing them for the plants.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and often if you've got a soil that is maybe a bit depleted in those and you don't have the fungi as well to help grab them onto the plants, you've got problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these the beneficial ones are called mycorrhizal fungi.
And yeah, that was the one that I was... Yeah.
Yeah. So essential for your plants and your soil.
Yeah.
So how do you get this mycorrhizal fungi?
Ah, how do you? I don't know. How do you?
You can actually buy sort of inoculant type, they call it spawn, and just spread it through your soil.
Just from like Minor 10 or somewhere like that you can get?
I think so. You can mail order it. But if you have compost, it will be in your compost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And especially if there's like spent mushroom compost, just get some spent mushroom compost and it'll be in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, really good. So,
yeah.
I found that the mycelium will extend the root's ability to absorb all the goodness, the water and nutrients by 1,000 times.
Really?
Yeah. That's what the...
That's incredible. You know, like how that we're being told more and more often that our, as human species, our intestinal flora is responsible for so much of our well-being, from our immunity to our, you know, digestive health to a whole array of things. That could be, so that's the plant's flora.
Yes.
So a good healthy flora in the soil helps their well-being as well.
So another benefit of these fungi is they excrete antibiotics, like you said, the flora in your gut, to combat disease, and they provide a barrier against root diseases as well. So they have all these cool
like
properties.
A physical barrier?
Yeah, physical barrier.
Oh, so that's a real mutualistic situation there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So very
they
interesting.
Both get benefits out of living with each other. Now, to make sure that you're not disturbing these fungi, it's best not to keep digging up your soil, because if you do that, then you'll chop them up and they'll die, all these little threads.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and another thing is to avoid using artificial fertilizer, because they don't like that.
Why is that?
Because they can't eat it, or they just don't like
it. I think it's because it burns them.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah, it's too harsh on them. And, yeah, so this kind of brings me to think about the whole, you know, this new dig garden concept.
Yep, the lasagna garden.
I wonder if, you know, what we're talking about with... quite in depth. Sorry, apologies if it's getting a bit too deep for some of the listeners out there. Oh, it's too deep. Well, it is. Fungi runs deep.
We're
it's
going
in the soil.
Underground.
down under. We're going sub. So, yeah. So, where was I going with that?
You underground.
Oh, dear.
Okay, some plants can't actually live without this beneficial fungi. So some orchids I found they can't, you know, they'll just die without it.
Oh, so some have some sort of tolerance for a low fungi count.
Yeah.
And others, no, got to have it.
Yeah.
But your orchids, I mean, come on.
Well, they're precious.
Everything's got to be just so.
Yeah. They're a bit fussy, these orchids.
Oh, dear. No. And then, of course, we've got... I don't know if you want to touch on that, or did you want to say anything more about the sub-component of them?
No.
I was just going to say, they provide a great food. They're a great direct source of food in the form of mushrooms and truffles, although I've never had a truffle.
Favourite mushrooms. But truffles are
mushrooms.
Really expensive.
I've never had one. Have you?
I don't remember having any truffles.
They're used, fungi is used as a leavening agent for bread. It's used in fermentation of food products like wine, beer, soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And several fungi are domesticated species that were selected according to their capacity to ferment food without producing harmful mycotoxins.
So your yeast, that's a fungi. Yeah.
So the, even like blue cheese, apparently I learnt from this, is the blue in the cheese is actually fungi.
Yeah. It's
but of course, when you look at it, you can see those
little
threads. What was that word you told
me? Myceliums.
The mycelium, the little growth it does. It looks like little roots. And you think, oh, what is this? But it's perfectly safe. It's not a toxic.
No.
And it's tasty. It doesn't leave. So molds used in cheese for production are non toxic. However, mycotoxins, which are the toxins that are going to cause us damage. So it's interesting because. You can get non-harmful toxins and harmful. And they so they can sometimes accumulate because of growth of other fungi during the cheese ripening or storage.
Okay.
I can't think of any other foods that would have maybe biltong, some of the dried meats
maybe.
Type things that can make people sick. But quite it's not often. It's more bacteria that you sort of get severe food poisoning cases from. The only other way that fungi can there are obviously clearly poisonous ones, and I just for you listeners out there that are probably like, oh, I'm going to pick some mushrooms, it's sort of advised to assume that a wild mushroom is poisonous and not to consume it, and you really know what you're doing, because there's some real fatal ones out there. So, yeah, and there's one, like, the when people take mushrooms for recreational purposes.
Okay.
Where was I going to talk about that? Yeah, they have psychotropic compounds.
Oh, your magic mushrooms.
People have been taking them for, since shamanic days, you know, or I guess there are still shamans, so they could, like, I don't know, enter the other worlds, you know.
Yes.
But that's actually a poisoning process taking place. And can cause things like indigestion, or if they take too much, they might never come back from the other side.
Hallucinations.
Yeah, well, I've heard of people taking things and never quite returning.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I found out that toadstools are the poisonous ones, as a general rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
The ones with the red cap and the white, white
the
spots.
The pretty ones.
The pretty
that
ones.
Papa Smith.
Oh, yes, the Smurfs.
Yes. Don't the Smurfs live in those? Those mushrooms? Oh, I don't know. They seem to be in a lot of cartoons.
They so live cute. In the forest, these mushrooms. It's natural habitat of, amongst, like, rotting logs. They like the moist, the damp, and the dark.
Okay.
So that's where your mushrooms are found. And I just wanted to talk about some yummy mushrooms that we can eat.
Yes, please.
So we have your common field mushroom, which is like your portobello mushrooms, your white buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your straw mushrooms, your oyster mushrooms.
That's a more of a Asian fungi, the oyster one, isn't it?
Mm.
They're saying that we're getting more and more of those in the West because people are into them.
Yep. Your shiitake mushrooms, which some people say they're Japanese, but us Chinese know them as Chinese ones. And you can dry them.
They're
tasty, and they last. If you dry them, they last forever when they're dry. But then you just soak them in water, and then they come back to life. And then you fry them up and chop them up.
I've read that shiitake mushrooms are really good for you.
Very good. They've got medicinal properties. Very healthy for you. Really tasty too.
And they seem to be more and more available these days. Before, I mean, if I said to my mum, I want some shiitake mushrooms for dinner, she would have gone, what? You're eating baked beans on toast.
You go to your Asian supermarket.
What?
Chinese supermarkets have had them all, so you might have to switch your shopping.
I think it would be easier to find these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also wood ear, which my mum used to cook. Well, she still does.
Yeah.
It's not like your typical cap mushroom. It looks like an ear, like a brown, quite a dark brown, like, it looks like skin, but it's not.
And
the shape of an ear.
That does not sound appetizing.
But it's really yummy. I love them.
Okay.
And it is a delicacy that grows in the forest. In China, they grow in the forest. But in New Zealand, apparently, they grow there too.
Yeah.
And the New Zealand Chinese who came over would used to harvest them from the forest and make a lot of money importing them, exporting them back to China because they are a delicacy.
What are they called again?
Wood ear.
Wood ear, so it looks like an ear.
So, yeah. They grow on the tree trunks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen those. It's like a light brownie sort of colour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark brown.
Oh, those look really cute.
They're yummy. Monkey mushrooms, which are a type of a ball-shaped.
They're hairy.
They're like shaggy. They're like that pom-pom that you've got.
Like a truffler.
Yeah.
Like a truffler tree.
They're yummy.
Cool.
There's puff balls.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can eat them. I think I've heard they're edible, but they're kind of different.
Fungi is the most intriguing.
It's fascinating.
It's of shapes and it's bizarre. When I found out that there's some fungi is like got a worldwide distribution, including extreme environments like deserts, high salt concentration areas. They can handle ionizing radiation, some of the species, as well as deep sea sediments, and some can even survive the intense UV and cosmic radiation encountered during space travel. It just blows my mind, all that.
They're survivors.
Now I'm going to watch these like Alien versus Predator movies and like these things that we watch, I do with my son.
Yeah.
Much more like, because you think, oh, whatever, what could possibly go wrong in space, like alien invasion or something, and from these specimens taken from goodness knows where.
Mm.
Well, there's proof in the pudding. Apparently they can survive like a few spores just flying around
space.
They
might be on Mars, you never know.
They're an interesting, and they've got their own group, what do you call them? Is it a group in the taxonomy?
Own kingdom.
Their own kingdom.
Yes.
So you've got animal, plants.
Fungi.
And then I think the other one, is it eukaryotes? It's the top. It's the top of the taxonomy chart anyway. And it's got.
You think your lion is the king of the beasts, but actually it's your fungi.
Sorry. Sorry, Mephusa.
Yeah. Touching on our gardens, going back to our gardens, do you have lichen in your garden?
Probably.
Well, that's very good because lichen are fungi and algae symbiosis. And they're an indicator that your air is very clean. Like, they won't grow in polluted areas.
Oh.
So, if you see those little lichens tree trunks,
it's like that
wood.
Really almost mossy looking spring greens. I've definitely got that.
Yeah.
Which surprises me. I've got it growing on a retaining wall quite prolifically.
Oh, wow.
And it surprises me because my darling fiancé has sprayed that wall quite a bit with wet and forget and goodness knows whatever else. Because, oh, my gosh, it's green and it's, no, can't be having that.
Oh.
And it keeps coming back. So I don't know if that blows your theory there on it being a pure environment, because I don't think wet and forget's like exactly pure, is it?
I think they were talking about the air.
The air.
It grows in where they like the air.
There you go. Come and live in Massey, guys. The air is pure out our way. Have you got it in your garden?
It's growing on some my old feed jar trees. And it's just like crusting them with this beautiful.
Beautiful.
That, I think where I live down Henderson is pretty clean.
Cool. Good on you, West Side. Keep it up.
It's not all good news, though, Karen.
Oh, dear, never is.
So, like an indicator of clean air, but there are other fungi that are not so good for
us. There's a dark side.
Yep.
Yeah, even though they light the dark.
Okay, so fungal diseases to watch out for, and they can be pretty harmful to your plants, particularly certain kinds of plants. Mm-hmm. So I have a few that I'm going to share with you. Not literally, but...
Please don't share your disease.
Okay, so if you grow roses, particularly in Auckland, you might be aware of black spot.
Yes.
And that is a fungal disease.
Yeah.
And why Auckland? It's because of our humid and wet weather. So they love that. Mm. And so they'll literally put black spots on your leaves or your roses.
Mm.
So no good for them. Another one is rust.
I was going to, yeah.
Yeah.
ask about that.
So rust, it looks like rust, but it affects your plants and gives them like spotty.
So
look.
Then, of course, we've got that myrtle rust, which is a big problem at the moment.
Daylilies and hollyhocks are particularly susceptible, so your flowers.
Mm-hmm. There's a rust that also attacks stone fruit trees as well.
Yeah.
What's that one? I had that on my peach tree once. It was a while back, though. I seemed to get it under control.
And garlic and onions can get rust too.
Uh-huh.
So, not good for your plants.
No. Any suggestions?
Okay. One more, mildew.
Mm-hmm.
So, that powdery sort of mildew.
Yeah.
Cucumbers can get, and your cubits, your melons and your pumpkins.
Yeah, yeah.
And also one more, sorry. Club root on your brassicas.
Ah.
That's fungi as well.
Okay.
So, deal with these fungal diseases. Now, you can't spray them because that will just not do anything. You can't control them by chemicals. Okay, so what you do is you get rid of it if you see it and remove your plants that are affected by it and burn them.
Okay, ruthless.
Yes.
Glad I'm not a fungi around Selena Chan.
Well, you don't want them to spread because fungi spread by spores and they can go into your soil.
Yeah.
So, yes, if what they like is those damp, moist, humid conditions, cold and wet. So,
did you know, I had to include this bit, that fungi can also be used as a biological control measure in agriculture? I did a bit of a stint on this in one of my university holiday programs. It's quite interesting, and I found it, and I was like, oh, I know about this. We were doing out at Ruakura up in the Waikato, and what we were doing is plugging these, I guess, inoculating the paddocks meter by meter by meter with these little plugs, and they were competing against the bad. So some grasses naturally have fungi. It's like a mutualist. Oh, this one isn't so much. So that it's like a symbiotic thing. But they're trying to inoculate the grasses with a fungi that produces toxins that are harmful, mycotoxins that the insects don't like, but they're not harmful to the animals that eat them.
Oh.
So it's a specific strain that we were inoculating the actual earth with, putting these plugs into the earth.
Cool.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything more of it, but it's still apparently a thing.
Oh.
So that's a great way of tying in how if we had more beneficial fungi all over the soil, it works for, it can work in so many wonderful ways, can't it? So anything else to add to fungi?
Growing mushrooms, you might want to know how to do that.
Okay, do you want to touch base on that or?
Just, you can get these mushroom kits that they sell in the garden centres.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come in boxes and apparently you write away for some spawn to be sent because it has to be fresh.
Oh, okay.
And then, you grow them. I haven't tried it myself.
Do you grow them for eating purposes?
Yeah, to grow to eat.
Okay.
Yeah. Another thing you can do is if you've got logs that are fresh logs, you can get the little, what do you call them?
The little first...
The inoculant or whatever in little stick forms. Well, they call it spawn or something like that. And you just knock some holes into the log.
Yeah.
And then they will grow out of the log.
Yeah.
You would chop up the log and you'd just bury a third of it in the soil, so it will have some moisture to draw it from.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have these in the dark place, like under some trees, like in the shade, and just leave them to it.
And this is all great for the plants and soil,
mm-hmm.
having these. Okay, interesting.
Yes, so I haven't
never heard of that.
Tried it myself. I have a few stumps.
Heard or thought of actually, inoculating. I mean, paddocks and stuff. Have you thought of doing that? My garden needs more mushroom. I've never.
Well, we live in a beautiful bush setting at our doorstep. And
true that.
Always wondered.
What have you wondered, Selena? What's playing on your mind?
Not flying over the rainbow, but to grow more mushrooms, like, in our gardens. It's not often talked about.
No, it is not.
And we have a lot of, you know,
damp, we've got the perfect environment for it.
Shade.
You're saying that, and then, bam, I feel like we're going to have a drought summer, and everyone's just going to be like, Selena, my mushrooms have died. Is it? Yeah, but shade. I think shade is key.
On the south side of your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's damp, moist. You could grow some mushrooms. And then you could, you know, have them for dinner because, you know, you just leave them to it. There's nothing really to look after once they start growing. And you just
but I'm greedy. I'll probably pick the whole lot because I love eating mushrooms. So anyway, other than planting mushrooms, what else do we need to be planting at this time of year?
Potatoes.
Ah. Was that the question? Was that what was weighing on your mind other than the mushrooms?
Let's go with the potatoes.
All right then.
They like the dirt
too. Are potatoes... Yeah, that's a common theme. Why are potatoes weighing on your mind presently, Selena?
Because
what's the deal?
I'd like to have chips and roast potatoes.
Chips for Christmas?
Yeah. And yeah, for Christmas. So if you get your potatoes in now, they'll crop around Christmas time.
Early season potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, gardeners, so you're into growing your own food.
Tell us what to do.
So you need to find some potatoes that are sprouting, and you may find them in the bottom of your potato sack. Or you can buy certified potatoes at your garden centre.
What do you mean by certified?
Well, the potato inspectors have inspected each potato and make sure that they're properly, you know, got no disease.
Got no fungal disease. potatoes, I think, blight. Isn't that a fungus? Potato blight.
Yeah. So they're not rotten or they're not, you know, they're going to grow for you.
Yeah,
so,
all right. Okay.
Yeah. So go buy some sprouting potatoes and prepare your garden bed. You need plenty of room to grow potatoes. They're quite a large crop.
Yeah. Okay, so if I was just a typical sort of suburban wife with nothing to do on a Friday afternoon, what sort of plot would I be looking at, say, if I wanted to feed my family at Christmas?
Quite a sizable plot.
Or suburban husband.
Oh, sorry, man.
So we're looking at what, 2 metres by...
Rectangular bed, 2 times 1 metre.
Okay. I've got that.
Yep. But alternatively, you can grow them in pots. There's nothing to stop you from growing them in pots.
Okay.
And you can now get these special potato pots.
Really?
Where there's like an outside pot and then an inside pot that has holes in it. So you can just lift out the potatoes when they're ready without having to kind of dig them out. They're quite clever.
I must check that out. Yeah. I've never heard of that.
So
you don't actually have to... Because the only thing I find from my potato growing experience is nothing worse than going to all that trouble and watering them and feeding them and planting them and then lemon sticking your spade in one as you go to...
Forking them and putting holes in.
Dig it out. And you're like, oh, perfect potato. Now it's been pierced with my pitchfork.
Yes.
What a cool idea.
Yeah. They'll be ready in about 16 to 20 weeks around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favourite varieties is Agria. I just really like them. They make really good chips.
Oh, okay, Agria.
They're the yellow kind.
I love chips and I love mashed potato. What would you use for a roast potato? Would they work well with that as well?
A floury type.
Oh,
there's
okay.
The waxy ones for your salads and your floury types for your...
So, you know what, listeners? Just plant maybe 2 or 3, different breeds. We've totally confused you. But Agrias, I think, a solid one, Selena.
Give them a go. They're really easy plants.
Yeah, a must do. Get on to it.
And harvest them.
Two by one.
Yeah, the leaves die down and,
Okay, so when they start producing flowers, that's when the potatoes are ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get on to it, listeners.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Selena.
Happy gardening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next